In Judges, chapter 10, because I'm not going to get into the whole mess with Abimelech, but I want to lead up to where we're going, which is Samson's maul and paw. Remember now, this morning it was three faithful women, three what? Fearful men. Three faithful women, three fearful men. First two faithful women was Deborah and Jael. First two fearful men were Barak and Jael's husband Heber. But we got another couple coming up. Now they're not as bad as the first ones, but we do have another couple coming up. But I just want to read something to get us there. Chapter 10 of Judges, of course, is after Gideon. And after the mess that occurred after Gideon died with the takeover by Abimelech and the slaughter of all his brothers. 70 brothers. Abimelech slaughtered 70 of his half-brothers on one rock. Fortunately, one of the brothers, I believe it was the youngest, escaped and called down from the top of the hill and gave a prophecy about what would happen. And it came true to the letter. Because Abimelech was killed
by a woman. I don't care what it says. He told his armor bearer to thrust him through. But I'll tell you who killed him. She killed him. That woman that threw that millstone down out of that tower. He was going to die and he knew it.
So he got his, so to speak. Particularly for what he did to his brothers. But this is after that. And after Abimelech, chapter 10, verse 1, there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dodo, boy, there's a name, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. Now, when it says they judged, these were men that worshipped God. They were not, God's not going to have somebody judge his people who are Baal and Ashtaroth worshipers. He's not. These are men that God separated and chose out to judge the people at that time, to direct them. And God's direction came through them, and God's judgment came through them. And these men are just a continuation of the judges that we've already had. And it says, and he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havjar unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Canaan. Verse 6. Interesting. And the children of Israel, we've heard this before, haven't we? It sounds like a broken record in the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. Balaam and Ashtaroth. They were the gods after the flood. They were. After the flood, they were the primary two gods of the entire heathen world at that time. They were it. They were the most popular of all of the heathen world. You hear about Baal and Ashtaroth, even in northern Africa, all the way over in northern Africa. Carthage and the empire, the Carthaginian empire, worship Baal and Ashtaroth. That's why there's urns with little kids' bones in them that they found in Carthage in a site that they dug up, because they put their kids on the arms of that altar and burned them in the fire whenever there was trouble that came. Just like the Jews did when they were worshiping them. And here in verse 6, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon. They weren't even happy with just Baal and Ashtaroth. They had to add everybody's gods in the neighborhood to it. These are, ecumenical. Let's just all get together and we'll worship God together. Because remember now, God loves you unconditionally, and unity is the most important thing on the face of this earth. Not when you sacrifice truth. It's not. No, That's a broken record, but I'll keep saying it. After that list, look at verse 7. 7, number of completion. Whew. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and under the hands of the children of Ammon. And I would have too, and I would have squashed them like a bug. But that's why I'm not God. And that year they vexed and oppressed it. I found this today when I was studying today. I said the ones before, Sisera was the one that really oppressed them. Here's another group that vexed and oppressed them. It says, in that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel. 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side of Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. Ammon, I'm telling you, the Amorites, they were on both sides of the Jordan, pestering all them tribes. Three tribes on one side and three tribes on the other. And they were after them constantly. They vexed them. Verse 9. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, as they've done time and time and time again. They cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. It almost sounds like they're crying wolf again. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, didn't I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Minoites did oppress you, and you cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand? God's saying, how many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to do this? Haven't I done this time and time and time again? Yet ye have what? Forsaken me. Ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods which ye have chosen. I like that. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. God says, you know what? You've forsaken me. And I'm tired of it. And I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Go cry to them. Go tell Baal to deliver you from these guys that are raiding you constantly. See what he does. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. That is actually a prayer of what? Starts with the capital letter R. It's repentance. Otherwise, God wouldn't have done what he does in the next verse. Although they put their words, I shouldn't say the next verse, what they did here was they put their actions where their jib was. You know, it's one thing to say, oh God, I'm sorry. It's another thing to act on it.
And here it says, and they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. I am thankful for a merciful, gracious God. Otherwise, he would have smashed me like a bug years ago. And should have. And I would have deserved every bit of that squashing. How many years, knowing what I knew about the gospel, and I know the whole trampling under the blood of under your feet is talking about saved people. I realize that. I've got to look at that context again to get all that straight. But at the same time, for years I knew truth. I was raised in a Christian home, in a Christian school, in a good Christian church. Heard truth so many times it was coming out of my ears. Yet, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. I would have deserved it. Still deserve it.
as far as that's concerned.
Thankful for a merciful God. And served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. The children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And then Jotham delivers them. Now, let's go over to where I want to get. Go over to 13. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read a couple chapters back that the children of Israel said, God, please, please, deliver us. Do what you want with us. Kill us even, but deliver us from these people. So he did. So what do? Chapter 13, verse 1. Ready to read the broken record again? And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. 40 years. I'm not going to throw stones at them because I can honestly say in my life that God has to whack me time and again on certain things. So let's be careful that we don't put it all on them. See, what we have, and we have to be careful too, that we don't let this unconditional stuff that the religion of the world is pitching out there cause us to say, well, I'm saved now, so I can do whatever I want. No. No.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Three faithful women, three fearful men were there at the last two. But we're also at what we've been studying, the appearances of Jesus Christ the righteous in the Old Testament. He's already appeared to Joshua. He's already appeared to Gideon. And now he's going to appear to an unlikely couple. It's not going to appear to the man himself, so to speak, who's going to do it, like Joshua, Gideon. He's not going to do that. Here he's going to appear to the parents. And in this passage, it says there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. How many times in Scripture have we seen a special, special work done with a woman who can't have a child? Time and again. I guess I could say I would like to encourage ladies who it just seems like they can't have a child, just wait on God.
Wait on God. Just wait on God. See what he does. See what happens here. Get on your knees. Pray. Be like Hannah. And see what God does.
Here was a wife that was barren and bare not. And we've seen that so many times in Scripture. We saw that back with Abraham. Sarah couldn't bear a child. Yet God appeared to him and said, under that tree, as they three of them sat there, your wife's going to have a child. And Sarah went, yeah, right. Inside the tent, of course. But Jesus was sitting there, and he knew what she said in her heart. So why'd she question me? Abraham, you know who I am. This is God sitting here. I said she's going to have a child. And she had a child. And here we have something very similar. Similar to some of the appearances of Christ in the Old Testament, yet different. And he comes to each of us at the time how we need him. At the time. And he doesn't come to people who don't want him to come. Does that make sense? I personally believe Gideon was thrashing that wheat going, God, where are you? Where are you? Before we started all this mess, my dad told me about what had happened because he knew that they're about the deliverance from Egypt. He knew those things. He had been taught those things, maybe as a little child, but his father apostatized for one reason or another. And he's sitting in there and he wants to do right. God's not going to come and work with somebody or do something with somebody that doesn't want to do right. The only thing they're going to get is conviction. But when it comes to the direction of God, you've got to want to do right. For God to speak to you. You do. Otherwise, he's not. And here I believe, even though I'm going to kind of classify poor Manoah along with the other two guys, I will say this. Manoah's different than the other two guys in some ways. And you'll see that. Verse 3. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. No, that's not what it says, does it? It says, the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. This is a Christophany. This is an Old Testament appearance of Christ just like the other ones that we saw. That was Jesus that talked to Abraham that day. That was Jesus that talked to Joshua. That was Jesus that met Joshua in the road with a drawn sword and said, I am the captain of the Lord's host. It's the same one that said, Peter, put up your sword. I could call legions of angels right now because he was still the captain of the Lord's host. Here, the angel of the Lord appeared unto the, wasn't Joshua, wasn't Gideon, wasn't Abraham. This one's kind of like poor Hagar that was sitting back there by the well. Here he appears to the woman. And there's a reason why he appeared to the woman. Why? Because she trusts one of these two, faith or fear. And there's a reason why he appeared to her. Because guess what? The second time he appears to who again first? The woman. We'll get there. I'm jumping ahead of myself. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. We heard that before as well. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. But that's way in the future. Now therefore beware, I pray thee. And drink not wine nor strong drink. And eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. This is a first. Nazarites are not born. They make a vow. Make sense? This is different. This is different. This ain't like back where the Nazarites took the vow. This is a totally different situation. This is a Nazarite from the womb. From the womb. Totally different here. So since he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb, he's not really going to make the vow at this time. Mom's kind of doing it, isn't she? Because she's going to be carrying a Nazarite in her womb before he's even born. And he says, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. That's a part of the vow that a Nazarite takes. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. That's another part of the Nazarite vow. That is what set them apart. It's not normal for men to have long hair. It was something that was a part of this Nazarite vow that identified them as a Nazarite. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, verse 5. And he shall, what's the next word? Begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He shall begin. It doesn't say he's going to finish it, does he? Maybe he would have been able to finish it, and I don't want to get into the life of Samson. Not tonight. We're just here for Manoah, the faithful woman and the fearful man. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 6. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me." She doesn't say it's an angel. She says it's a man of God. All right? It's kind of like a couple of the other appearances. Not really sure who they're talking to yet. Okay? "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name." She asked him his name because he didn't tell her his name. Okay? So she said, "Where are you coming from and what is your name?" And he didn't tell her. Okay? He didn't tell her. There's a reason for that. "But he said unto me," and she repeats what the angel said to her, "Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb to the day of his death." Now, because this is a special thing, Manoah knows the law. All right? He knows what a Nazarite vow is. Manoah is going to raise the next judge. He's not a Baal worshiper. He's one of the 7,000 that didn't bow the knee to Baal. Okay? He's not a Baal worshiper. He worships Jehovah God. He knows the Lord. She goes to him and she tells him this. But she didn't tell him everything, did she? All right? She didn't tell him everything. "And Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." He wants to know how to train this child. What's he going to do? And that's what it's saying here. Now, be careful
what you wish for. Because sometimes you're going to get it. Be careful what you pray for. I had an old missionary one time. Him and I were talking in the back, and I was much younger then and more riled than I ever am now, if you can imagine that. Newly saved, riled all the time, bouncing off the ceiling 24/7, and we were talking, and I said, "My problem, brother, is patience. My problem is patience." And he goes, "Brother Wilson, don't you ever pray for patience." And I said, "Why, Brother Winstead? I need it." He said, "If you pray for patience, you're going to be a patient." He goes, "Because that's how God teaches it." And I went, "Thank you, Brother Winstead. I've never prayed for it again, and I never stand in lines to this day."
Anyway, he got what he wished for. He got what he wished for. He got the appearance of the man of God again, or at least he thinks it's a man of God. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. That means he didn't just pray one time, "Lord, please send the man back." What did he do? He prayed over and over again, "Lord, please send the man back. Please send the man back. Please send the man back." The man had already told his wife everything he needed to know, didn't he? But because he entreated the Lord, he said this. Look at verse 9. "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto him.
New. Who's the angel appear to? Who does Jesus appear to? The most faithful of the two. He could have gone to Manoah, because Manoah's the one that said, "Come again." Who did he appear to? Again. Again. He appeared to his wife again.
Why? She's a faithful woman.
And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said, "Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." And he prayed a couple days at least. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am that whole long list of seven things that we went over." This is our Savior. And he says, "I am" a lot. And he says it here, "I am." But they still don't know who they're talking to. And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. If this should come to pass." The commentators were split on him at this point. Did he have the faith that this would really happen? Because why didn't he take his wife's word for it at the beginning? You see what I mean? I would have took her word for it and said, "Okay, let's get ready." Or would I have? Would I have said, "Hey, in all the excitement, did you miss anything?" Because that's a reasoning man's mindset. Man, she was probably really excited because she just found out she's going to have a child. She's been wanting one for a long time. I guarantee you she missed something. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him?" What is he going to do? How shall we train him and what is he going to do? Notice what the angel says and what he doesn't say. Okay? Because what is he going to do? He's going to begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. But notice what's missing in what the angel says. "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." He's basically saying, "I already gave this out, Manoah. I already told her what to do." And he knew her heart. I'm going to tell you something. She didn't forget anything he said that day. Not a word of it. I can guarantee you. "She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe." And he never said a word to Manoah about Samson doing what? Delivering Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Why did he omit that part? Because as a proud father, you know what I'm going to do once my son joins the military or goes off to war? I'm going to tell every single person I know, my boy is going to deliver us from the Philistines. And guess what the Philistines are going to do? They're going to kill his wife so quick, it'll make your head spin. Aren't they? The angel's protecting him and her. God knows best for us. We don't. We want to know it all. We want to know it all. I want to know everything. Man, as a young, particularly Christian, and coming up in the ministry and going to Bible college, and I wanted God to just lay it all out. I wanted everything there. I wanted to know it all. I am a man of reason. I want the game plan. I used to plan multi-state drug raids, and I had to have a game plan. This long list of things that we had to do. You're doing surveillance. You're in this car. You're following this guy. You're listening on this phone line. I want you here. You on the top of that building. I want my raid van down the street. And I would spend all this time getting this stuff ready. Here we are. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee until we have made ready a kid for thee." Doesn't that sound familiar? That's happened in a couple other appearances. Abraham did that. "Now, I gotta give you something." Because he still doesn't know who he's talking to. Because that was cultural back then. "I'm going to feed you." And that's my problem. Too much feeding. "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wert offered a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. He said, look, I'm not interested in food right now. It's all business. To sit in a sit down with Abraham. This is what you got to do. I've already told you. If you want me to wait and offer an offering to the Lord, do it. Because he had some things to show him. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, when your wife already told you, I ain't telling you? Because she had. And he asks again. And he says there, seeing it is secret. And in the original Hebrew, it is wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. What do you think he did? What did the last time somebody put an offering on a rock? What happened? The angel touched the rock, and what happened? Fire came out of the rock. Okay? That's exactly what happened here. It happens every time. That's how Cain knew that his offering wasn't accepted. Because Abel's went up, whoosh, with the fire of God. And his did not. It sat on the altar. And right here, when he put that offering on the altar, fire came up out of that rock just like it had done before. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on.
They're starting to get it here. All right, we're going to get to the fear. We're not there yet.
For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Jesus went up to heaven in the flame, just like they saw him go up when he ascended. Wasn't a flame then, but he went up in the flame. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground.
They know it ain't some prophet of God now made out of the same flesh that we are. Okay? It's obvious now who was there. It's obvious to both of them who was there. And we see that in the past when the angel of the Lord on the road to Jericho said, Joshua, get your shoes off. And what did Joshua do? Poof. Down on the earth. Why? He knew who that angel was. It was the angel of the Lord. It was none other than God the Son. And he knew that. He knew that. Angels don't accept worship. They can't. Only God can. And here we have Christ ascending in the flame. And they fell on their faces to the ground. Verse 21. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord.
And here we go. Faith or fear? Okay? Three faithful women, three fearful men. What are we going to trust? Faith or fear? Here we go. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Go figure. God just told you that you're going to have a son and that you're going to raise him to deliver Israel, but he's going to kill you. Come on. You know what was Manoah's problem? Superstition. That was an old Jewish superstition. If you saw an angel, you died. It was superstition. Nowhere does it say that in the Bible. The only thing you can't see is God the Father. No man has seen God at any time, God the Father. No man has looked on his face at any time. But this wasn't God the Father. This was God the Son who walked Eve through the garden and gave her to Adam. Mm-hmm. Same one. Yet, in fear, suddenly the faith turns to fear. How quickly our faith turns to fear. How quickly. We can be faithful 1 minute. We can trust God 1 minute. And 2 seconds. Man, I am good for this. I'm going to tell it myself. Past summer, I hurt my big toe on my left foot. And I can't remember exactly how I hurt it. I think it was these boots I wore, but they pushed down right at the back on the cuticle, and they really, I was playing airsoft that day, and I ran and kept running, and I knew it was hurting me, and I'm like, I'm just breaking in the boots, it'll get better. It got worse. By the end of the day, I'm limping up to the car like this. I can't even hardly walk. I take the boots off, the back of my toenail is black. So over the next 6 months, guess what? That bad boy's still black. So I go online, black toenail, and it's got me dying of every kind of melanoma on the face of the earth. And 1 second later, I was dying. And I'm telling you, ask her. I was dying. She's like, no, you're not. God didn't call you here to preach, to kill you with a black toe. It's the truth. That happened at our house. But I was so persistent in it that I actually swayed her the night before I went to the doctor. And she didn't get any sleep that night. See, when our faith falters, we affect other people. Right. Your faith falters in this church, you're going to affect your brothers and sisters in Christ, and so am I. We are. We rise and fall together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I told on myself. I was dying. I'm telling you, man, I was like, oh, they're going to cut my toe off. I'm serious. And I went to the doctor the next morning, and this young lady sticks my toe up on her knee, and she goes, you had an injury, didn't you? I went, yeah, I think so. And she said, I've seen a lot of melanoma in my time, and that ain't melanoma. I just killed the microphone. She said, that ain't melanoma. I'm going to plug it in wrong and you're going to see firefly. Got it. And I went.
I walked out of the office and I got in the car and I went, you know what I said? God forgive me. That's what I said. Forgive me. And then I went home and I told her. So we both had to say, God forgive us. That's just something little. But you know what? It is life. Ain't it? And here, they had just been given this wonderful blessing. You're going to have a son, and he's going to deliver Israel, and you're going to die now. No. No. But I'm thankful for a faithful woman when the man wilted. But his wife said unto him, verse 23, I would have liked to have heard the tone of her voice. I would have loved to. Man, if I could be there right now, I'd like, Lord, transport me back because I want to hear her say this. I really do. I want to hear her rub it in because I would. She says to her husband, if the Lord wanted to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands. You know why he didn't kill them? Because they had an acceptable sacrifice. And guess what? We have an acceptable sacrifice. We have the greatest sacrifice. We have the Lamb of God. We have the past, present, and future sins under the blood. They didn't have that. We have an acceptable sacrifice. Yet our faith falters so quickly. We are secure. Everlasting life. Yet our faith, yet my toe is going to kill me. But she doesn't end there. She's going to rub two more pieces of salt into the wound. He would not have received this burnt offering and meat offering out of her hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. If God was going to kill me, why did he reveal so much to me? Why am I afraid? What has God revealed to us? Do we need to go over the list of verses? What has he revealed to us? He revealed to us our sin. That was the greatest revelation that we could ever get. I'll never forget that night. I'll never forget that night. Nine rows back at Maranatha Baptist Church. My sin broke my heart. It was no more playing around. When I hit the altar, it was, God, I'm sorry, and I didn't know what else to say. He revealed my sin to me. A hypocrite for 37 years. Tell you what else he reveals. And I don't have time tonight to get into the passages. But when you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, what does Solomon say? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. He has revealed to us the emptiness of this world outside of him. There's so much there that he's revealed. And then she doesn't end there. She's going to rub one more grain in there. The old fearful Manoah. God's going to kill us. That's what he's saying. One more thing. He would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would at this time have told us such things as these. There's three things that she mentions there. And the last one is the promises of God. How quickly my faith goes to fear when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. But I'm going to lose my toe. And I'm just using that as just a... It's ridiculous, isn't it? Isn't it? And our faith affects each other. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move in him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. God didn't kill him. A faithful woman and the last fearful man. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Faith or fear?